All right, so is everybody ready? Is everybody excited? Okay, very good. I'm glad. I'm happy to be here and excited. I might use the board a little bit tonight again. We have on the schedule for tonight how to handle questions. So I'm going to address that in a general way, in a general fashion, and then what to do about the questions. Okay. So far we have seen that starting with somebody, setting up a Bible study is a 50-50 work. 50% work on setting the Bible study, 50% work on what to do once we have the Bible study. Okay, is that correct? All right? I mean, in a general sense, we can do it 50-50, okay? So the first time we had the first class 3 weeks ago, we spoke about some general aspects as far as to how to have a good conversation with someone. And the purpose of the conversation is not to leave the conversation upset or having a debate. And more especially, don't leave the conversation with a closed door. Okay? No more opportunity for that person to want to study the Bible with you. Okay? Now, do you remember any of the pointers we went through in that class?
Open-ended questions.
That's a very useful tool, okay? And we saw that we like to be asked our opinion, okay? So when we approach someone, even if it's at the door, and we want to ask them their opinion, you know, we come in a natural way, okay? It's nothing like we're not going to feel awkward or anything, but when we door knock and someone comes, let's say we might be inviting them for a BBS or, you know, gospel meeting, and So we give the invitation. We say, hey, my name is Rafael Ramirez, and this is my wife, Nancy. We're here with the Church of Christ, and we're having a gospel meeting the following week. And we just wanted to drop you an invitation and just hope to see you there. And they say, okay, sometimes they're going to ask you, okay, where is it, or what's the time, or who's speaking, and so on. So we pick up the conversation. So we say, you know, by the way, I would like to know your opinion. Why do you think there are so many churches nowadays? You see, very natural, okay? We're not confrontating, we're not invading space, we're just asking an opinion. And most of the time, a lot of the times, they're going to give us their opinion. So that's when we become all ears, okay? There's no sense of having an argument at the door if what we want for them is to sit down, open the Bible, and study through it, okay? As we've seen, in a methodological, in a systematic way, okay? Now, I told you I was listening to an evangelism method by Brother Rob Whitaker. I don't know if you've seen those videos or not, but I haven't seen them all. I've saw just the beginning. And he said he's been a gospel preacher for a long time in somewhere in Tennessee. Now I think he's in Georgia or maybe, yeah, somewhere in Alabama. Right, thank you. But something he said, first, I don't answer questions from people. I don't answer questions. I used to. But that yielded very little fruit for me. It yielded very little fruit for me chasing rabbits here and there on questions they had here and there at the door, you see? And so he said, I'm not going to answer any questions. I've learned through experience. So he's not going to answer questions. I'm just saying that the logic, you know, that some other gospel preachers are seeing in this method, okay? So he said, well, I'm going to, even if they have asked questions when we're sitting down to study, I hold on and wait. Until we get there, we write them down in a notepad, and then we say, we're going to get back to them. Is that okay? And say, yeah, that's perfect. So let's continue with the system. You know, let's start with ABC. Okay? So this is the same thing we're trying to do. We're trying to avoid a closed door. Okay? And this has happened to a lot of us. Okay? And has happened to me, you know, at the door. And I get upset, and then I say, how come they can't believe this? And I don't understand what they're preaching. I just confront them. And it's okay to stand for the faith. It's okay. I'm not saying it's not. Okay, it's biblical. But we're just trying to be wise in order to win a soul. Okay, that's all. Okay? And so when we ask them their opinion, now when we ask open-ended questions and I ask them their opinion, now what do we do?
Wait for an answer.
We become what? All ears, which is contrary to the way, you know, evangelism is being done. Okay? And I agree that times change, you know, evangelism back then and now and maybe in the future, you know, it changes, you know, as people change the way they protect their personal space and so on, okay? And I'm not saying that, you know, opening the Bible might not get someone to believe the gospel right then. It could, of course, but we're trying to be as effective as we can. All right, so we become all ears. Instead of telling them what the Bible says, we keep on asking questions, you know, based on what they say, okay? Nowadays, people, they're going to start sharing what they think, okay? They're going to start sharing how they feel about certain topics. They're going to start sharing their thoughts, and that's when we're going to pay attention to what they say, okay? Come on in. We're going to start paying attention to what they say, to ask them more questions. So we keep the ball rolling for a little bit, okay? We keep the ball rolling by questions, just simple questions, okay? If they say, well, you want me to tell you what I think about how many religions are there, where there's so many religions? Some say, they're going to say, just straight say, well, there's so many false teachers, right away. And then you can ask them, okay, why do you say that? Okay, why do you believe there's so many false teachers? See what I'm saying? And they say, well, I just see so many doctrines, and one of them contradicts the other one. And then in the same town, one baptized by water, one baptized by immersion. And then I ask him, okay, what do you think is the appropriate method of baptism? Okay, see, questions and questions from comments they make. Am I making sense, Sister Sandy? Yes, okay. Yeah, so questions from comments they make. Just something natural. Something natural. Okay, and then when they less expect it, you know, if I was there maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes or so, and then just out of the sudden, suddenly, I remember I'm in control. Okay, they don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing something, okay, which they don't know. And then suddenly I ask them, would you like to know what the Bible says about those questions? Just something simple. And they just wait for an answer, okay? A lot of the times, and of course we cannot say always, but a lot of the times, and it also depends on the person, also depends on ourselves, the way we handle ourselves at the door. But there will be times when we raised enough interest in the person, they will say, yes, I'm interested. I would like to know. You see, I've thought about those questions. I've thought about the many religions. I've thought about the many doctrines. You know, my family believes this. My other believes this. I believe something different. I would like to know. It's not going to hurt me. Okay? And then that's when we tell them, okay, you know, I have whichever method you want to use. Remember, we talk about different materials and so on. So you tell them, okay, I have a series of lessons that I would like to share with you. And how about we meet? Which day is better for you for us to meet? Okay, something very natural, something very simple. Okay, we're not, you know, being pushy or being confronting or having a debate at the door or something. Just common sense. Okay, now, if they say yes, now that's the other 50%. Now, why are we going to teach them? Okay, and I think with these tools, I believe that a lot of the members are capable of doing personal work. Okay, no matter what age, no matter what gender, everybody can do it. And in fact, I've seen brothers and sisters who they wish they knew how to do it, but when they give them the right tools, they're confident. See? So this is what we saw. Okay, I'm just doing a brief review. Okay? So that's the first 50% part in general. So everybody, you can adapt it your own way. Okay? When I teach the Teachers of Men course, okay, we do it in a slightly different way. We say, okay, we propose two options of questions, or sometimes three options, and then we ask them, which one is more you think is more interesting to you? Okay, we'd say, by the way, may I ask you some questions? I would like to know your opinion. And then, okay, yes, please. And say, okay, I'm going to give you two questions, and you tell me which one is more interesting to you. I say, Would there be a day of judgment, and is everybody going to heaven? Which one of those two do you think is more interesting to you? And then they might choose the first one. Is there going to be a day of judgment? And then I say, good choice. Okay, why do you choose that? And then we do the same thing. We develop. Okay, questions. When you run out, you're exhausted. The questions you can ask about that first option, then you ask her or ask him, now what about the second question? What do you think about the second question? I would like to know your opinion. Okay? You see, we like to give our opinion. We like it. You know, in politics, in religion, you know, in general, people like to give their opinion. Okay? And if it's done in a nice way, without confronting, it's going to yield fruit if we try to do it the best way we can. Okay? Also, it's going to depend on the person. All right? But that's one tool we can use to set up a Bible study. And, of course, it's going to change. It's flexible. If you know somebody, you're acquainted with a cousin or a friend, you can also do the same method. But if someone you're acquainted with and you already had a spiritual conversation with them, they know you come to church and you're a Christian and so on, you can just tell them, hey, I have a series of lessons. How about we sit down and do a Bible study? Let me tell you something. There's this congregation in Guadalajara that I told you about in Mexico, and they haven't door knocked in a long time. See, the way they do is members of the church have acquaintances that they know want to study the Bible, and they just bring them to those who are prepared to sit down and study a lesson. Okay, that's the way they do, and they keep on studying and studying and studying. And when we use the self-discovery method, as we've seen before, it's going to help them learn, okay? And we're going to get to that. But something important we also mentioned, doing a brief recap, okay? We talked about using a systematic method, okay? And if we see any method of evangelism, any method has a systematic method, okay? The safety chain, fishers of men, what the Bible says, I guess that's the name of the booklet, red booklet. Anyways, starts from A, goes to B, C, D, E, F, and so on and so forth, okay? So what we're saying is there's certain topics that we need to address before they can become a Christian, okay? There's certain fundamentals we need to build, like Brother Rick was mentioning, help them understand the church, okay? And that's, I call them fundamental. And of course, there's a fundamental of inspiration of the scriptures, although a lot of people, most of them you will find, they believe in the scriptures, the existence of God as well. But you see, even though they believe in God, even though they believe in the scriptures, they're going to benefit by going through these topics again and learning them, discovering them for themselves. Because all they know is things they have heard from the pulpits, okay, of their religions or the denominations. So they're going to be grateful to you that you walk them through and help them, you know, see it for themselves, okay? And help them feel like they're the ones learning, okay? And it's just not someone telling them from the pulpit, okay? And I'm talking in this general sense in the denominational world, okay? We know preaching is commanded, okay? So we're talking about you having a Bible study with somebody, all right? But so a systematic method, all right? Sometimes we want to rush to certain topics, okay? Sometimes we can make the mistake of being in a hurry to rush to certain topics. And I understand that getting to the point of the baptism is important and it's time sensitive, okay? But if we build that good foundation, we're going to help them be real converts, okay? We're going to help them be converts, okay? Not that doing it, going directly to the baptism in one session will not make them converts, but you're going to give them a solid foundation that at the time you're baptizing them, you can ask them, okay, what are you here for? And they're going to answer, okay? They're going to say, I've sinned, I fall short of the glory of God, and I need my sins removed. Now, what's the purpose of your baptism? For have my sins washed away. Okay, I like that. I like when people, you put them on the baptistry and they answer all those questions because they know what they're doing. Okay? And they're not going to forget what they did. Time is going to go by and they're going to be sure of what they did because they have this solid foundation. Okay? So that's the purpose. All right? Okay, what else? Now, that system. And then I mentioned briefly about the help them. Well, I already mentioned it. I called it the mastery method. You know, I got this example for somebody else. But it's help them to understand the basic principles before they're baptized. Okay? That's what I mean by that. Okay? It's not in the Bible. Okay? I got it from YouTube. That's okay. It's a concept that I'm using to say that people can understand what they're learning from the Bible. All right? Very good. Help them don't have gaps. Okay? I went to the school of preaching. I can tell you how many grown preachers baptized were baptized at school of preaching because they had gaps when they were baptized. Okay? That's what we're trying to avoid. Okay? Hope that makes sense. All right? Very good. Now, what is the main purpose when we're studying the Bible with someone? What is the main objective? What are we after? Okay? In this method that I'm trying to convey to you, what is my main purpose when I'm sitting down with someone to study the Bible? Well, one of them is to help them understand the Scriptures. That is fundamental. That is one of my most important goals. Help them understand the Scriptures. And then I mentioned that a lot of times people can read, you know, Mark 16 and 16, okay? And then I have asked them, okay, after they read Mark 16 and 16, I asked them, okay, what do you need to do to be saved? And a lot of the times I get the answer, you need to accept the Lord, okay? Because they're not understanding what they're reading. They're just reading for the sake of reading, but they have in their mind what their pastors or leaders have said all along, accept Jesus and be saved. And that's what they answer, even though they're reading something different from the Scripture. So we're helping them understand the Scriptures, helping them understand the existence of God, helping them understand the inspiration of the Bible, helping them understand the deity of Jesus, helping them understand the difference of the covenants, okay? Helping them understand the church, helping them understand that they're in a sinful state, helping them understand that their sins offend God, okay? And that they're sinful. Sometimes I've talked to people and I say, do you sin? Which sins do you commit? I say, I don't know. I don't commit any sin. I'm a good person. So we try to help them see that we make mistakes, okay? And we need the forgiveness of God. We help them develop godly sorrow. We help them repent. And then we help them understand also the baptism. I'm going to mention this before we finish, but helping them understand, make a contrast between the baptism or the salvation they receive against the salvation the Bible speaks of, okay? We're helping them understand. That's my one of the most important goals when having a Bible study. Now, different ways, okay, we can help them understand, but I'm focusing on the self-discovery method, okay? We talked about it last week, all right? Now, something else. Now, I made a list of things I want to help them understand. Now, it's one thing they understand them, it's another thing they believe them, okay? They may understand, there may be a sin or something that may hinder them from saying, yes, I believe that. So, along that I'm helping them understand, I ask them every so often, okay, so, is Jesus God? They're going to say, yes, according to what we read, yes. Now, do you personally believe that? And if they say yes, okay, I accomplished one of my goals. I marked that, okay? They accepted it. So I'm going step by step, okay? Now, we move along, and then we ask about the Ten Commandments, okay? And I ask them, now, are we under the Ten Commandments today? Yes or no? And they say, no, we're not. Now, do you believe it? And they say, yes, I believe it. I agree with what the Bible says. Then that's why I'm accomplishing my goal. And then I do another check mark to another biblical truth, okay? That's what we're trying to do. Help them accept the Scriptures, okay? Now, along the way, sometimes it's pertinent to ask them, okay, how does that verse apply to you, okay? Now, for instance, when we address, for instance, Matthew 16 and 16, the matter of marriage, okay, sometimes I might ask them, okay, how does this verse apply to you? They might say, well, I've been married once and I haven't been divorced, so I'm good. Okay, or they might say, you know, my wife's cheating on me, or they might say, I mean, I'm just living, we haven't been married. Now, how does that verse apply to you? Well, that means that I need to get married. Excellent. See what I'm saying? Helping them make their decision by their own mouth, okay? It's different that if I tell them, you know, you're in a bad situation, James, and you better get married, okay? And it's okay to do that. It's okay. But if he discovers it for himself, that's going to nail the last nail in the coffin. He's going to do it. He's going to understand it. And he's never going to be able to say, hey, it's your opinion, Raphael. It's your opinion. You're being too hard with me. I said, he's never going to say that because he's reading from his own and he's coming to the conclusion on his own. Okay? All right, very good. So helping them apply the scriptures to their lives. And there are many aspects in which you can ask them, okay, how does that apply to you? All right? So I just gave an example. All right? Now, okay, also to gain commitment. It's the same thing when you say, do you accept? That's gaining commitment. He's committing. He's committing to what he's believing or understanding. Okay, now, in general, also what's part of the goal when I'm sitting down with someone to study is to help them think for themselves. And this is where the method divides, okay? Here's what methods take different roads. Okay, if I lecture, I'm not necessarily thinking, okay? I've been in classes, I've been in the pew, I've been listening to sermons, and I not necessarily am thinking all the time. Okay, because I have to focus, I have to concentrate, I have to take an effort. And I have children here and they want to scoot down or whatever, then I lose focus and I won't listen completely. Okay, and you know, sometimes if you're a skeptic, you may sit in the corner and say, well, I'm just going to see there what happens. I'm just going to, you know, I'm not really interested, but I'm just going to check it out. And you might not be thinking, okay, you might just be, I don't know, doing something else or I don't know, doing something different. Okay. But when you're one-on-one, okay, and you're asking them questions, and you're letting them read for themselves, they're going to always, or most of the time, okay, most likely be thinking. Okay, be thinking. Now, the chances that someone will go to sleep, they're small, okay, if you use this method, okay? Now, if you have a big group, the chances that someone yawns tonight, they're bigger than if you're one-on-one asking them questions, okay? And that's the way it is, okay? So I'm trying to help them think for themselves, to be engaged, to learn by doing, to learn by acting, interacting. They are the center of attention, okay? So that's the main objective when I'm studying the Bible with somebody and using this method. I forgot my watch, so I need to be looking at my cell phone. All right, very good. Okay, now I'm going to give you two general rules for teachers using this method, okay? They're very, very simple, okay? Very common sense, okay, when we think about it. But there's two rules, and I hope you notice it when I was last week when I was doing the study. Never, as a teacher, I will never tell my students anything that they can learn from themselves. Okay, I give them a lot of credit. Okay, I'm not there as the expert, I'm there as the facilitator. So I'm not going to give them anything that they can learn from themselves. Okay, I'm not going to rob them of saying, aha, I got it. See, the Bible says so. You believe it? And say yes. Okay, I'm not going to rob them of the excitement of them reading it and discovering it from themselves. I'm going to try to help them learn from themselves. Okay, that's one of the rules. Okay, and then along with this, if I as a teacher ask more questions than lecturing, I'm going to develop. They're going to be asking for more information. They're going to be curious. They will want to know more. Okay, so that's two general rules. Okay, when teaching. Don't tell them anything they can learn from themselves. And of course, when I teach the course of Fishes and Men, I go to the extreme. You know, I'm more strict. Okay? But there's things you need to tell. That's okay. There's things you need to tell. But if you keep it, less things you tell, more things you ask, more of them they're engaged, it will be the better. Okay? So it's okay to explain, you know, things. Okay, to say, well, if they ask you what's a Gentile or a Jew, well, you help them with the scriptures, but then if you need to tell them, it's okay. I mean, we can tell. That's fine. But let's keep the ratio more asking, less telling, and that's for their benefit. Okay, and I understand this is so hard, and I'm going to tell you, this method is not easy. Okay, it's not easy. It takes effort. Okay, it takes effort. Because it's easier, like we saw in the first time, we rather talk. We rather be in control. We rather be the expert, okay? And they better sit down and better understand that they're the student, and I'm the one in charge, okay? We rather talk. That's our nature, okay, most of the times. So that's two general rules for teachers. I might be going so fast. You might have some comments or something to add. Feel free to let me know, okay? But something else. Usually, when they discover it from themselves, okay, as opposed to me just telling them, it's more likely that they're going to, one, accept. If they discover it from themselves, they're going to accept it more likely. And also, listen to this, more likely that they're going to remember. Okay? Now, we can do this experiment. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put anyone on the spot. But one time I asked them, my students, say, okay, can anybody tell me what were the three main points of last Sunday's lesson? And you can hear crickets. Crickets. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? No one raised their hands because no one remembered. And that's the truth. Okay? And I didn't even remember. I was the one who preached. Okay? So you see? Okay, but yeah. But no, that was, you know, that was somewhere else. It wasn't here. But it wasn't here. No. But see, we tend to forget, okay, what we're told within a reasonable time, amount of time. That's why it's important to take notes, okay? That's why it's important, you know, sometimes us as preachers try to make it, you know, more rememberable, okay? And whatever, that's homiletics, that's something else. But anyways, that's the fact of life, okay? If we're not 100% paying attention, taking notes, we might forget. So we will forget, okay? So when we're engaged, we tend to remember more, okay? We remember, or everybody, well, we remember more. And taking about of students, we give them a better chance to remember, okay, what they're learning, okay? Now, if you think about the mailbox, you see you get mail in the box, and then there's, you know, we get all the time those, you know, Jiffy Lube, you know, change the oil, and it might be good for you, or I don't know. I do the oil myself, so whatever. But anyway, what I'm thinking is, you get mail that you're not interested about, okay? So what do? You just throw it away because you're not interested. You're not interested about that mail, okay? But people tend to be more interested, okay, in information they ask about than information that is just told to them, okay? If I, out of the sudden, start telling you about the topic, and then, well, you weren't interested about it, but when they have questions, you know, we develop their interest, they tend to be more interested in that information that they're asking. That's why when they have questions, we say, okay, let's answer that question, and I'm gonna mention how to deal with questions just in a minute, but we take note of their questions. Every time someone asks a question, we're going to say, very good question. I'm glad you asked. That's an excellent question. Even if it's a silly question in our side, whatever, we say, that's a good question. Now, let's take note of it, and let's address it at the appropriate time, okay? Let's not go on a tangent or chase this rabbit at the moment. Let's just wait, and that keeps the interest on the person. Some of them are just waiting for us to get to that question, okay? So we're just trying to be wise in the way we handle, okay, when we're doing a Bible study, okay? Trying to be as effective as possible in this regard. Okay, any comments so far? Right here.
You know, Raphael, on that helping them understand Scripture, Acts 8 and 30, Philip, as he runs up to the chariot, he asks the question, mm-hmm. Understandest what thou readest?
Correct.
And it was a door opener. For that conversation. I like Luke 24:45 with regards to that, where Jesus helped his disciples. He had been with them for 3.5 years, but he still helped them to understand the scriptures in regards to that. So that's a couple of passages there.
Thank you.
On helping them think for themselves,
yes.
Acts 17, verses 2 and 3, where Paul goes to the synagogue. He reasons with them out of the Scripture. He is helping them to think about who the Christ was. And the same is in Acts 18, verse number 4. He reasoned with them. And that's the ideal of helping them to think. So helping them to understand and helping them to think are both biblical topics.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm glad you mentioned that. Very good. Very good comment. Thank you. Okay. Very good. Oh, so are we good so far? James?
Yes.
It's Ebony. Is she? She's not here.
Oh, she's here.
Okay, she's.
She's got Mila.
Okay. Okay. That's okay. All right.
She wasn't ready to sit down yet.
I understand.
Mila. Just...
Okay. Very good. All right. So teaching principles. Okay. Now, what do we do when we have when someone asks us a question? Okay. Now, if we haven't said a Bible study, if they ask us a question, we're gonna. Usually, what I would do is you say, "Okay, what do you think about it?" So you try to send it back their way. And if they're asking the question, it's because they either have a doubt or they have an opinion about it. Usually, they have an opinion. They want to know if it's right. Sometimes they want to know if you agree with the way they think. So if they ask a question before setting a Bible study, say, I usually turn it back to them and say, "Oh, that's a good question. What do you think? I would like to know your opinion." And a lot of times they're going to say, "Well, this is what I believe, and this is I don't agree, and so on. Why don't agree? Or why do you think so?" Or, you know, turn it back to them. More questions. Now, if it's during a Bible study, remember, if we have a system, we don't want to get ahead, okay? We don't want to go away from the topic. We don't want to get into a discussion. So usually the way we do it, okay, and the way I want to tell you, is you can almost classify any question into one of five categories, okay, of questions. And this is in perspective to your system, okay, the system you're using, okay. Now, I was listening to Brother Whitaker. I'm, you know, kind of, you know, seeing his point of view and you know, learning from him. And he does the same thing. Okay, he does the same thing, but he classifies them in three categories. But anyways, sometimes they might ask you, you know, is my dad in hell because he died being a Catholic? Okay, now that's a strong question, and you don't want to start there. You don't want to start there. You don't want the door closed. Okay, so we can classify those as loaded questions, James. Okay, we're gonna say, hey, that's a good question. That's a very good question, very important question. Let's write it down. And let's get back to it at the appropriate time. And you write it down. Let them see that you're writing it down, that you care, that you're interested in their question. They're going to be okay. Most of the time, they're going to be comfortable, Michaela. They're going to say, yeah, that's okay. I can wait. All right? And then a lot of the times, I get questions like this, you know, how long is a cubit or the bed of the giant? How long was it? Or how tall the giant was? And things, you know. Though you don't want to go there either. You're just going to waste your time. Okay, well, in general, okay, I mean, that's not going to help them become Christians, okay? So we're going to wait for those curiosity questions. Also, put them aside. Just say, you know, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. I'm going to write it down, okay? How tall was Goliath and so on? I'm going to write it down, and we're going to get back to it when we have time, okay? After we finish this series of lessons. Remember, this is in perspective of the series of lessons we're doing, okay? Is that okay, James? Going good? Okay. All right. Now, other questions might be, you know, you have a system A, B, C. Some questions might be out of that A, B, C system you're having, you know. Like, for instance, in John 13, you know, the washing of feet, okay? Feet washing, okay? It's not curiosity, okay? It's not a loaded question, but it's we can say it's not part of the system we're using. It's not on the lessons we're going to give. So we also tell them, okay, that's a good question. Okay, we're going to wait. We'll write it down and wait. Okay? All right. Now, we have seen three categories so far. All right? Now, let me give you the last two. Okay, so we've seen loaded questions. Yes. Curiosity questions, and this one, the third one, I call it irrelevant. Okay, we call it irrelevant. An irrelevant question. Irrelevant in perspective to the system we're using. Now, it's not irrelevant in general, irrelevant to the system. Yes.
Can I challenge something?
Excuse me?
Can I challenge something respectfully?
Caleb, are you here to learn or are you here to teach? Well, one of my requirements the first time we were here, I want a good attitude, a learning attitude. So I might wait on your challenge, okay? You might wait to do it later. Okay, very good. All right, excellent. Let's keep going. All right. Fourth type of question. Now, in relationship to your system, okay? Now, you have A, B, C. Now, let's say they ask about baptism, okay? But you're still in the first lesson, second lesson, okay? We call that premature. We're going to get there. It's premature. We're getting there, okay? We don't want to answer, especially those, we don't want to answer yet, okay? If they say, was my baptism okay? We don't want to answer those yet. That's premature, okay? Now, we have seen four categories of questions, okay? And these are tools, okay, that we use to be more effective, all right? Now, number five is a relevant question, okay? And this is where Brother Rob Whitaker, and I mention him because I enjoy when people think, you know, when I find support for what I'm doing from other places, I like that. So that's why I mention him, because some of the things I teach, I've seen him do, and he's been doing it more recently, you know what I mean, not too long ago, but anyways, okay? Now, the last type of question is called relevant question, okay? A relevant question has to do with something you're studying at the moment, okay, right now, or something you have already gone through, you see. It happens sometimes that, you know, I'm in the, you know, fourth lesson, and then they have a question about maybe the deity of Christ, maybe about the covenants. It's okay to go back. It's relevant. We need to go back. Okay? In fact, we better go back. All right? So that's the fifth one. All right? So we do five types of questions, and it's a tool that helps us. Okay? But anyways, we have loaded, curiosity, irrelevant, premature, and all of them, we encourage, we say, yes, thank you for asking. That's a good question, okay? Let's write it down, let's wait, we're going to get to that, and let's get to the relevant matter. Relevant, not that other matters are not relevant, but relevant to our system, okay? I want to make sure that point gets across. No question is irrelevant in general, and no question is only relevant, so we're talking about as comparison to our system. Okay? Very good. I think I'm just going by so fast, and okay, we're about to take a break in 5 minutes. Let's see. What I want to do in the next session, or I'll let you know in a minute, but I was thinking of Ebony, or maybe James, okay, if you wanted to volunteer, okay, I might be volunteering them, okay, no pressure, no, but you're fine, you're not going to be on the spot, you're going to be, okay,
it's okay, I'm fine,
all right, I knew you would, but anyways, I don't know what I thought about you, because you haven't been with us too long, and trying to find someone new,
okay.
Whatever,
I'm
and, but I want to do the deity of Christ, no, I've done it before. And, you know, I have a brother-in-law, and he's a very simple man. He's a cowboy. He's very simple. Nothing fancy. Didn't go to school. Used a few grades of school.
What's his name?
It's a wonderful name. One of the best names I've heard. Okay. And so, but I helped them without telling him anything. I made my commitment. I said, I'm going to commit to not explain anything to him. To help him understand the concept of deity. You know, a very simple man. Now, and he understood it all the way through. Okay? And then what I did after that, and I give it to his credit because I used it with him first, I wrote down every question and the way I did it with him. Okay? And of course, it doesn't mean that it's always going to happen the same way with everybody. But my point is, if you understood it, a lot of people can understand it. Okay? So, so I might try this when we go back, and then maybe you see how I do it. And it doesn't mean I'm going to do it again the same way, but hopefully I will, okay, if I try. But anyway, let's take a break and we'll be back.